So good to be at a conference, a missions conference, our advanced conference, first session. Hello. you know, Dream Builders Church, without a doubt, is a missional church. You know, without a doubt, over history, the amounts of money you've sown into mission is incredible. You know, and as a Dream Builders family, mission's just not something we do. It's not just a department we have. We don't have a missions committee that just every now and then does mission stuff. It's who we are. You know, we are on mission. You know, our cultural values, you know, the dream. You know, we're devotional people, we're relational people, we're equipped people, we're anointed people, but we're also missional people. You know, and over the last 12 or so years, you guys have pioneered this incredible work in Uganda. But you've also done other things as well, have sown into other and supported other partners around the nations of the world. And so as a church and as a community of faith, you know, we just don't do missions once a year, or we don't just do missions like once a month. Actually, it's who we are. And one of the reasons why we do, you know, faith promise giving is when it comes to missions, we just don't want to be putting our hand in our pocket and just seeing what's in there and then just throwing it in the bucket. You know, we don't want to be looking down the back of the couch thinking, oh, it's missions offering tomorrow. What can I find at the back of the couch? This is all about being prepared. This card that we have is about, it's about being prepared, being a good steward, saying this is what I'm going to pledge for the next 12 months and I'm going to put a plan in place. I mean, it's called a budget, put a plan in place where I can give, not just what have I got in my pocket today. Have you ever been in church? I was in a church like that when I was younger. It's like, well, the offering's coming around, what can I find? And it's always, in those days, it was the 1 cent, 2 cents, 5 cents. We don't have them anymore, do we? And the $1 note. Oh, had a bit more value back then, I think. But yeah, so mission is part of our DNA. It is who we are. We are on mission. We want to see the gospel go out, you know, not just into the darkest places of the world, but also here in our local community and here in Tasmania and in the nation of Australia. There are 8 billion people on planet Earth today. And it said there are 3.5 billion people who are considered unreached. 3.4 billion considered unreached. That's nearly 50% of the world's population today is unreached. That's an incredible number. And to many, it can be just a number. But to God, it's not a number. To God, it's hearts, it's souls, it's people's names. God knows them intimately. An unreached people group is a group of people that does not have a Christian or a Christian community within their group, within their town, within their community. That means they don't get to hear the gospel message. If there's no one taking the gospel message to unreached people groups, how can they hear? And if they can't hear, then how can they make a decision based on faith or not whether they surrender their lives to Jesus? Because what happens? What happens if the gospel doesn't go to the 3.4 billion people on planet Earth and those 3.4 billion people, they come to breathe their last? What happens? The Bible tells us that they're on a destination, eternity without God, without the Father. Bible says there is only one way for salvation, and it is through Jesus Christ. If people don't hear, how do they know? How can they respond? 3.4 billion people on planet Earth, it may be just a statistic to us, it's not to God. God's heart breaks at that. And we have the responsibility. That might just think, man, what can Dream Builder Smithson do with, you know,
getting out the gospel to 3.4 billion people on planet Earth. And particularly it's in those nations in the 1040 window, you know, in northern Egypt and the Middle East and places like that. But we play our part. And that's all we need to do is just play our part. Just as everybody of Christ plays their part, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the job can get done. God's put all his bets on us. That's a bit scary, isn't it? We are the hope of the world. He's put all his bets on us. Our conference for this year, it's the theme is echoes in eternity. And we all know what an echo is, a sound wave that moves through space. Does he call it space? I don't know, but it bounces off hard surfaces. We all know what an echo is, and the idea is that we want to be a generation that makes a sound for the kingdom of God that echoes through the generations of time and into eternity. We want to be a generation, I do. I want to be a generation that leaves a legacy for the next generation, that they can build upon the legacy that we have left. You think of guys like, think of someone like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul lived, 2,000 years ago. What was the sound that was coming out of his life? Guy totally surrendered to the Lord. What was the sound? I've been saved by grace through faith. Justification by faith. And he has left a legacy. Well, his sound has gone through the generations of time. It's echoed through the generations of time that we talk about the Apostle Paul even today, 2,000 years after he lived. He left a legacy. He had a little disciple named Peter, Timothy, left a legacy for Timothy to build upon. And no doubt Timothy had a disciple, and the next generation, and then the next generation, and the next generation. We have a sound that echoes through the generations of time. What sound's coming out of our lives? Think of someone like Hudson Taylor. He's one of my favorite missionaries, one of my heroes. A guy who just surrendered everything and just went to China. An unreached people group. Hadn't heard the gospel before. And he's gone into China in the 1850s. Dressed like the Chinese. Had to learn how to speak Chinese. But by the time of his death, he was able to get the gospel message out into, I think, every province in China. At the time of his death, 20,000 Christians. Well, there were 20,000 confirmed Christians at the time of his death, 50 years after he got to China. Early 1900s, 20,000. He went there. I don't think there were any Christians when he went there. Unreached. 20,000. What a legacy. 20,000 Christians at the time of his death. What a legacy. How many Christians in China today? Whoa. I don't think we really know, because most of the Chinese church is underground. But many say there's well and truly over 100 million. This is only 120 years, maybe 110 years after the death of Hudson Taylor. From 20,000 Christians, all of a sudden there's over, well and truly over 100 million, probably over 130, probably 150 million, who knows. People are saying that there's going to be more Christians in China by the year 2030 than in any other nation in the world. All because of one man. All because of one man said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." All because of one man said, "You know what, I'm surrendering my life and I'm going to the unreached people groups." And I get it, not everyone can do that. I understand that. And I don't want to put guilt trips on you saying that I've got to go to, into the North Africa region or whatever. But just hear my heart. Hudson Taylor just surrendered it all to say, "You know what, God's calling me to go to the place of China, the country of China, to take the gospel there." And then all of a sudden now we've seen so many Christians. It's a legacy. It's a legacy that he's left. His life is echoing through the generations of time. Speaking about him today, it's incredible. Our theme for this year, just take a breath for a minute, guys. You all right? Our theme for this year has been "Come Holy Spirit." We've been preaching into the Holy Spirit and preaching about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he is God. Holy Spirit is a person. We've talked about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a guide. The Holy Spirit who, as a dove, as fire. But when you look through the New Testament, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, one of the purposes, he's intimately connected with mission. He's intimately connected with purpose and destiny. You know, the Holy Spirit was intimately connected with the mission of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no cross. There would be no crucifixion. There would be no resurrection. Think about that for a moment. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no cross, no crucifixion, no resurrection. How so, Matt? Well, at Christmas, every year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. How was Jesus conceived? Hello? This is not a rhetorical question, okay? How was Jesus conceived? By the Holy Spirit. You take the Holy Spirit out. Jesus' mission then just, it unravels. It doesn't happen. Holy Spirit is intimately connected with mission, with purpose. He's intimately connected with your purpose, your mission, intimately connected with the purpose of Dream Builders Church Smithton, with our mission. Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him. You know, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, confronted Satan 40 days, 40 nights. He came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus preached his first sermon was to really outlay what his mission purpose was. And he emphasized that that the Holy Spirit was important in that. Let's have a quick look. Luke chapter 4. I just want to give you a little bit of a biblical kind of foundation about mission and the importance of mission and how we are on mission and how it's God's heart and God's plan. Luke chapter 4 verse 16. When Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. You know, they didn't have chapters and verses back then, just letting you know. So he had to unroll this scroll and he had to go and find the place. He actually knew what he was looking for. And then he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus emphasized that the Holy Spirit had anointed him to fulfill his purpose in the world. How awesome is that? Cast your mind forward to the disciples. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Hey, guess what? We're disciples of Jesus, yeah? Is anyone a disciple of Jesus in the house? Just put up your hand if you are. Okay, we've got a few. Got some work to do. Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he leaves. He ascends into heaven. And this is what he says to the disciples. He says, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." With the coming of the Holy Spirit, with the filling of the Holy Spirit, it was for a purpose. It was to be witnesses about Jesus. Amen? Just a side note. The Greek, does anyone know the Greek word for witness in that text? It's where we get the English word martyr from. It's the Greek word martyr. It's where we get the word martyr from. Interesting, isn't it? To be a witness, to be a martyr. You know, in those days, it was highly sought after to be martyred for Jesus. Because what a testimony, what a witness, where you've been burnt at the stake and the crowd is around you, surrounding you, or you've been crucified upside down, it draws a crowd, and that you can testify about the goodness of God. It's a bit extreme. I think it's a bit extreme. I'm glad I live in 2023 because I probably would have had that mindset back in the early days. But it got me thinking. You know, as disciples of Jesus, we're martyrs anyway. If we really hold on to the fact that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. My old life is gone. It's meant to be. It's meant to be crucified, which means that, in a sense, I have become a martyr for Jesus. But the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was for the disciples to be witnesses, telling people about Jesus everywhere. Think of what happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the 120 that were meeting, gathering in prayer. What did they do? They spoke in other languages. And who was there at the time that could hear what they were speaking? There were people from other nations that were present. The Holy Spirit had taken hold of the disciples. They were speaking in other languages. What were they saying? This is not a rhetorical question, okay? What were they saying? Amen. So when the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with the Spirit of God, the thing they got up and did was declared the goodness of God. They witnessed about how good and how awesome God is. What about Peter? Peter stands up under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and preaches a message. 3,000 people are saved. Holy Spirit is so intimately connected with our purpose, with our mission. Think of someone like Philip, Acts chapter 8. Philip goes into Samaria, preaches the gospel in Samaria, and the city receives it with great joy. Then he goes, because the Holy Spirit tells him, there's an Ethiopian eunuch you need to go and you need to share the gospel with. And look what Acts chapter 8 verse 29 says. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. Go down to verse 35. So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Wow. New King James Version. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. All because the Holy Spirit, and he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, all because the Holy Spirit said, "You need to go and you need to talk to this Ethiopian eunuch. You need to preach Jesus to him." The Holy Spirit, intimately connected to mission. Holy Spirit, intimately connected to your purpose, your divine purpose, to this house's divine purpose. And the Holy Spirit initiates the first mission to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on the way. How awesome is that? When you read through the book of Acts, I mean, you might look at your Bible and the book of Acts is kind of titled Acts of the Apostles. It could just as well be titled Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit moving in and through people to get the gospel message out into the farthest corners of the world. You even look, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That is exactly how the book of Acts runs. Starts off in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What is the very last verse? This is a rhetorical question because I don't expect anyone to answer it. What is the very last verse in Acts chapter 28? I'm not sure what the last verse is. Sophia might know. Putting you on the spot. It is Paul preaching about the gospel of Jesus in Rome while he was in prison, which is pretty much considered the ends of the earth at that time. Although Paul said he wanted to go on to Spain. Holy Spirit is intimately connected with our purpose, with our mission. And in fact, he's the one who drives our mission. Can you see how important it is to be aligned with the Holy Spirit? Can you see how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, so we have power, we have joy, and we talk about the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that he comes to comfort us in our time of need. But really, the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's just as important that we've got the boldness to go out to share the gospel with those who haven't heard it or those who haven't responded to it yet. Does that make sense? Ephesians 2 verse 8. I love this scripture. This is what Paul says. It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in us in advance for us to do. We love to individualize this text, and I don't think it's wrong to do that, but we apply that text to my life. I am God's handiwork. I'm God's masterpiece. I've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for me to do. But when Paul wrote this letter, he wrote to the church, not to an individual. He didn't write to Timothy. He didn't write to Philemon. He wrote to a church, to a body of believers. And so what Paul is saying to the church, to the body, he's saying that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's handiwork. You've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. How awesome is that? That God sees this body as his masterpiece. Not just, we can individualize it, but Paul's writing to the church. It is God's masterpiece, and that God has prepared for us, works for us to do. But that includes everybody, that we all have to be working together, arm in arm and hand in hand, and playing our role and playing our part for us to walk out those works that God prepared for us to do in advance. I mean, great example, Wasawa. Let's get to Wasawa. I'm going to close in a minute, but great example is Wasawa. Do you think this is it's a coincidence? How Wasawa was pioneered and how Wasawa was birthed. You guys pioneered Wasawa, yeah? Do you think it was a coincidence? I don't necessarily believe in coincidences. Maybe this is what Paul is saying here. You're God's masterpiece. You're his handiwork. You've been created to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Ever thought that, you know what, God had planned for Dream Builder Smithen to pioneer a school in Wasawa in Uganda? Ever thought about that? Well, it's not just coincidence. I don't see it as coincidental, or it just happened, I see it was part of God's plan. But guess what? I think it's just scratching the surface of what God wants us to do, of the works that God has planned in advance for us to do. It's just scratching the surface. He's got so much more. God can do abundantly more than what we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. That's exciting. I hope that's exciting. What God wants us to do in Uganda, it's just scratching the surface. He's got so much more for us to do. Who's on the journey? He wants to jump on the train, on the dream train. I'm excited. Let's get to Uganda. I'm going to have to read this out because I don't want to mess it up, but I've got my notes all over the shop. Let's give it a go. Uganda, Joy School Wasawa started with 25 students back in 2011. 2023, we've just been there a couple of months ago, 335 students are studying at Joy School Wasawa. They're getting a high level of education. They're getting a biblical education, which is so good, absolutely. Because the Wasawa community is made up of, there's Catholics, Muslims, Christians, there's pagans, paganism's there. We have those of Islamic faith, wanting to get their kids into the school because the school has such a good reputation. You go there and you don't even have to ask anyone, but you can just see that this school is a good school by the way how it's kept and the buildings that's been constructed there. But we're giving them a biblical education as well. Education is really so important because it helps break the cycle of poverty over children's lives. Jacinda, do you want to throw up a photo of the little boy? Look at that little fella. He's having a bad day.
And yet he's still gorgeous.
Yes. I just had to take a photo. Poor guy. I don't think things were going well for him that day. But God's got a plan and purpose for his life. God's got a destiny for his life. It's through Joy School Wasswa that he gets the opportunity to fulfill what God has planned, what God has put in his heart. Well done, guys. That's awesome. What about is there another photo there? I think they've got another photo. He's having a bit more of a happier day. They're checking out Sharon's phone. They love the phones. But God's given him he's got a plan and a purpose. He has a destiny. That wouldn't happen unless it was for Joy School Wasswa. This is one of the classrooms, but what really stirred our heart was the fact that those who graduate, is it grade 7 is the highest grade? Yeah, but those who graduate grade 7, 25 to 30% drop out. They don't necessarily go into, or they start high school, they may not go at all, and the reasons being is because it's too far. So some kids are walking 6Ks to the primary school, and then it's another 10Ks to get to a high school in Lagazi, which means it's too far. The fees for the high school may be too costly, but if you've got to walk that far, you need to board. And, you know, paying boarding fees is too high. And also walking along some of those tracks amongst the sugarcane fields can be quite dangerous. I'm going to read this. And then we'll close. I've lost track of time. We going okay for time? Is everyone going okay? Okay, cool. So education has the power to break the cycle of poverty and transform the lives of countless families. So Nelson Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And it's with this belief and a real deep sense of purpose that we see a really bright future for the kids at Wasswa. As I said, the mission extends just beyond academic growth, but which we strive to provide a biblical foundation that will empower them to fulfill their hopes and dreams, understanding that true fulfillment can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we spoke to the kids when we were in Uganda a couple of weeks ago, we were inspired by their aspirations to change the world. They dream of becoming doctors, lawyers, accountants. Did I hear soldiers?
Yeah.
Want to be soldiers, fair enough. Yep. These dreams have been planted within them by God himself. It is through our school and the faith, unwavering faith of Dream Builders Church, and those over there as well, that these dreams will blossom into reality. However, we face challenges, and one of the challenges, and particularly challenges that can hinder their dreams, one of the challenges is the 25 to 30% dropout, which I've just stated. Just through long distance, financial issues, the dangers they face, the risks they are walking along some of those tracks. But our school is on leased land as well. It leaves us vulnerable to potential eviction. May not happen, but potentially it could. To secure the future of the school, we need to take action and purchase the 2.5 acres of land the school is on. During our visit, you know, Sharon and I were praying, and we're just really, I think, excited about the potential of the school and where the school could go. So we really need to purchase the land. We got that up there. So let me just get down. So this is not to scale, but just did a Google shot. So there's 2.5 acres of land. It's something like that. But you see the school there is on less than half, but there's also this other bit of land. that would be ideal for a sports field, because, you know, we want the kids want to get out there and play soccer and netball, have sport days and things like that. It's kind of been advised that we don't put a secondary school on that land because it's too close to the primary school. It needs to be a little bit of separation there. So with that, we wanted to kind of felt in our heart that maybe not only should we buy 2.5 acres of land, but down the future, we should need to purchase more land to put a secondary school on it, which means that those kids who graduate from grade 7 at the Waswa school will just automatically just transition straight into, I suppose it's year 1, year 2, year 3, and just go through the high school. I've lost my spot. Oh yeah, so there was, and when we were over there in April, there was a bit of hesitancy with the board about speaking to the landowner, because I think they've had conversations in the past about the idea of purchasing the land, and they didn't go well. But through a lot of prayer, we even prayed this at our network prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago when we got online with the other churches in the Dream Builders Network, and we prayed about, you know, we really need to get a good result with the purchase of this land, you know, and it came back last week, got reports last week that the landowner is willing to sell 2.5 acres of land for $18,000. So that is a real answer to prayer. And that'll help us secure the future of the primary school. But while we were over in Uganda, we said to the board, well, 2.5 is just not going to cut it with what we feel God's put in our heart. We've got to go bigger. Go bigger. And so we said, all up, we'd love to have 10 acres. So that means an additional 7.5. And to that, they choked on their tea. I don't know if you can choke. No, that's a tough cup of tea. I don't know if you can choke on your cup of tea, but... but anyway, you know, they faithfully, you know, were obedient to our suggestion, and the landowner is willing, at some point in the future, is willing to sell us another 7.5 acres of land. That'll be down the track, though. So we've got to do one step at a time, and that'll be the 2.5 acres. So that's a good result. That's a really good result. That means that, man, we can put once we acquire that extra 7.5 acres, we can put a secondary school on it, which will eliminate that 25 to 30% dropout. Alan assures me that that will reduce it significantly. But then we can do some social enterprise stuff, you know. One of the things I notice with the meals that the kids get, breakfast and lunch, they don't get any calcium in their diet. And so I think, well, what a great way, put a cow or two on this land and get the cow to produce some milk. Get some milk into their diet, get some calcium into their diet. Any excess milk can be sold into the community. Kind of think, I know nothing about dairy farming. But isn't it funny that God's planted me, he's put me into probably the most prosperous dairy farming area in Australia, where there is so much expertise here. Even if it is the other side of the world. But there is so much knowledge and expertise in these parts of this part of the world that it, to me, it's a no-brainer. And then there's chicken farms. Eggs can be used for, you know, for the diet. Eggs can be sold. The chicken manure could be used for fertilizer. Good nitrogen fertilizer right there. And, you know, the idea maybe even a bakery. I'm not sure. They do this flatbread, which is not too bad. But... need to investigate that a little bit further, but a bakery with nice fluffy white bread, I think is pretty cool. But you can tell I love bread. And yeah, doesn't always work well for me. I might just call the band to come up. So who's excited about that? Hopefully I've been able to communicate that clearly, but you know, there's great an opportunity to be able to get a secondary school, but to be able to do maybe some social enterprise. Even not every kid's going to go to tertiary college or tertiary school, and we want to be able to put something in place where we give them an alternative to maybe even to learn a trade, whatever that trade might be. So I think it's not right to think that every single kid's going to go into tertiary school. So what other opportunities could we could we present that will allow them to fulfill their dreams? They might want to be a motor mechanic. That might be the dream that God has given them, to be a motor mechanic, to fix trucks or to fix motorbikes. Well, then maybe we need to put something in place where we can help facilitate them to be able to learn the mechanics of a bike and a truck. So we're going to hear a bit more about Uganda next week. But we have Dale and Karen here with us. They're going to be sharing their heart. They're our senior ministers of the network. They're going to be sharing their heart. But you've kind of got a glimpse of our heart, Sharon and I's heart. I know it's in Damien and Simone as well. And I know it's in you guys as a church. Been doing this for 12, 13 years. Started with 25 children. There's 335 kids now getting educated, getting a biblical education. They're getting food. It's incredible what you guys are doing. You know, and we want to challenge you, and I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do that, but I want to kind of challenge you, you know, that we need to keep moving forward, we need to keep pushing forward, you know, because we want the sound of this house to be echoing through the generations and echoing in eternity and echoing in Uganda. But, you know, as I said, this is just scratching the surface of what God wants us to do as a community of faith. You'll have one of these on your seat. Just quickly go through it. This is when I'll just read through this blurb. It just says, I will express my faith to help financially support various advanced projects until the end of June 2024. So we don't just support Waswa. There's Laura we support, Rudy Manilak we support, House of Hope in Indonesia we support. We support recovering drug and alcohol addicts in Melbourne. So, you know, we don't just support Waswa, but you'll get to hear a little bit more about that. As Sharon said, this is got nothing to do with your tithe. Your tithe belongs in the house of God. 10%, just give that to God, and then this is above and beyond your tithe. It's a faith step. It just says there, my faith promise represents what I can do through good stewardship in the natural with added element of faith. So we don't want people just like jumping off a cliff and saying, you know what, I'm just going to give this much, when you're looking at your budget and thinking that's just crazy. Be a good steward with what God has given you. But we also ask you, take a step of faith. Trust God in this. It is a faith promise card. Then it says, I understand that this faith promise is an agreement between myself and God, and that I am expressing trust in God for the resources to fulfill my promise. So there's a spot there to put your name. The reason why we've put that there, and it's up to you, it's optional whether you want to do that or not. We're not going to come chasing you if you don't put in, you know, if you've got fortnightly and you miss a fortnight. We're not going to come chasing you. It's not between us. This is between you and God. It's like a contract that you sign. For me, when I sign a contract, it has a bit more special meaning, a bit more commitment to it. Like a contract I signed with Sharon on the day we got married. It has a special meaning and a special commitment to it, till death do us part. A lot of people don't sign those contracts anymore, but that's an important one. But so is this. Anyway, I'm getting off track. But there's a spot there to put your email. If you want us to confirm anything with this card, you can put your email address on there. We can contact you with that. There's a spot for a first or second. Today, if you're filling a card in today, maybe you're not going to be here next week, we'd encourage you to put in first. The idea about the first and the second is that this has happened to us before, is that we've put a card in and we've ticked first, but then we've felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit to actually go higher, to take another step of faith. And so what we've done then is filled another card out and scribbled in number two. But that's why it's important to put your name name on your card as well, so then we can cancel out your first card if you happen to do that. Then there's the regularity of giving. You can give a one-off, that's awesome, or you can give weekly, fortnightly, monthly. We like to have regular giving because we have regular commitments. Waswa, we're committing money to Waswa every month. Same to Laura, we commit money to Laura every month to Transformations in Melbourne. We're committing money every month. If we don't have money coming in regularly, then it's going to be hard for us to keep those commitments. So, and then you can just put what you plan to give. put the amount in, because the amount in is really important. These cards, when we've collected these cards, this is what we draw, or I draw a budget up from. So, for example, if the final amount from all the cards that are gathered, it equates to $50,000, that's what our budget will be for next year when it comes to advanced promise giving, which means that I'm going to have to make some phone calls and things like that, you know. We're going to make some important decisions. If it's $100,000, our budget is on $100,000, okay? That's why we really encourage everybody to fill a card in, because we need that final number so we can do a budget. And then you got the little slip here that is for you to tear off to put on your fridge, so that, or in your wallet, so that you can see it at all times, because we're on mission. It's who we are, not just something we do every now and then. So with that, and it's also we've got our mission account details on the card too, that if you want to transfer money over, you can do that. If you wanted to roll over your card from last year, you still need to fill out one of these cards, because the card from last year becomes null and void on July the 1st. Okay, so you still need to fill out, we would like you to fill out one of these cards. So with that in mind, we're just going to get Levi and Jono to sing, just to play an item. We might just lower the lights a little bit, Damien, not too much, but if you feel compelled to fill this out now, we encourage you to do it. You might want to wait until next week. Well, then I encourage you to pray, be prayerful about it, how much you can how much you can give to partner together to take the gospel out into the nations of the world. Does anyone need a pen? Because we've got pens up the back if anyone needs a pen. Just shoot up your hand and someone will get a pen to you. But let's just reflect and let's just take time out. Just pray about this right now. But if you're not going to be here next week, I just really encourage you, can you fill this out now? Just so that final amount is really important for us when it comes to budgeting. So hand over to you, Levi.